This is an interview with Mrs. Flora Garcia Villalba on March 26, 2003 in El Paso, Texas. The interviewer is Fernanda Carrillo. This interview is part of the Bracero Oral History Project. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
What is your full name, ma'am, please?
Flora Garcia Villalba.
And when and where were you born, ma'am?
I was born here in El Paso, Texas.
What year, ma'am? I'm sorry.
I prefer not.
Okay, sure. Okay. And did you grow up here, ma'am?
Yes, I was raised in the Lower Valley, and I grew around cotton fields. I saw the agricultural all around me as I was growing up.
What school did you attend while you were growing
up? I attended Isleta High School.
What was your dad's job during that time, ma'am? What did he do for a living?
I was a student.
Okay.
Living at home with my parents.
With your parents? And was your dad a farmer?
Well, he was a farmer, and he was born and raised in the Lower Valley.
So you live in a farm?
Not necessarily a farm, but around farm areas.
Around farm.
Near Isleta. My father owned a grocery store. He was a grocer, and he owned a store for 35 years.
How many sisters and brothers do you have?
I had two sisters and one brother. My brother passed away, and I have two sisters right now.
Do they still live here in El Paso?
They live here in El Paso.
Okay, great. And were you the only one in your family that got involved with the Bracero program?
Yes.
What about your father? You said he owned a grocery store right there in the Lower Valley. Did he at any time have contact with the Braceros, the one that were working on the farms?
Yes, he did, because fortunately, since our store was in the Lower Valley, our business, we had many, many Braceros that came to the store, did their purchasing at our store. My father got to meet a lot of them and visit with them, and so we got pretty close to all these men that were coming from Mexico.
So the Braceros were able to leave the facilities of the ranches they were working to
go to the store to go do to their the buying. Uh-huh.
And would you happen to remember mostly what they wanted to eat? Or what was their favorite foods?
It's amazing, because most of them would be living in barracks, and it seemed like one of them would end up being the cook.
Oh, okay.
And most of those men would kind of let him do the buying, and he knew exactly what he wanted to do and what they were going to fix for meals. So we would just kind of step back and watch them, see how they were helping each other and how they depended on each other to do well and carry on what businesses they were doing here.
And during your years at Isleta High School, you said started working as a clerk typist at the Rio Vista.
At the Rio Vista, yes. Uh-huh.
How did you get involved with this program? Did you read an ad in the newspaper, or did someone else tell you?
My father was a friend of one of the supervisors at the El Paso Cotton Association, and he encouraged him to let me go work at the Bracero Center.
Would you please describe your role in the Bracero program during that time? What year was this, ma'am, when you started working?
I worked there from 1954, approximately 54 to 58.
Mm-hmm.
And as a clerical worker, I used to do the processing of micas. They used to call micas,
okay,
where you would give all the information, who they were, and all this typing that we need to find out as far as the original contract while entering the United States was necessary for them to have in file.
And this job you did there at the, were you, Did you ask them to show you proof of the information they were giving giving to you, like an ID or a birth certificate?
At this time, I don't really recall whether we required to have that information, but I do recall long lines of men standing right in front while we were typing and getting all that information as to who they were, where they were born, and every other details that the form required.
Yes.
But I do not necessarily remember whether we required any identification other than what they were giving us.
How many people were doing the same clerk typing job at the Rio Vista Center while you worked there? How many of you were?
Okay, at the Rio Vista Center, we had, first of all, the different departments, which was immigration. It was, I worked directly for the Department of Labor under the Bracero program at Rio Vista. But there were, in one department alone, I would say at least 100 people that I can recall.
And how many people working there as clerk typists doing the same thing you did?
I guess most of them.
Most of
them.
Were there ladies, men?
Men and women.
Men and women. And were they studying high school as well? Or
some were students, different? Other were people working as full-time employment.
Was your job a full-time?
No, not at the time that I was first started, no.
Okay. You worked there during the summers or all year?
During the summer.
During the summer. And how many hours a day did you work there?
Up to 12 hours.
Up to 12 hours.
12, even 15 hours if someone wanted to stay double shift.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And did you work Monday through Friday or?
It was 7 days a week. The processings were on the peak season. We would work 7 days a week.
When was the peak season, ma'am?
I would say between May and September.
Okay. So during this time, you were able to work even double shifts?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. How many applicants were there on a given day, let's say, like average of people that you attended? Only you.
That I attended? Uh-huh. How many can you say? 30? Every applicant would take at least 30 minutes to 30 process.
Minutes. To process, you mean like going through everything or just with
just
you?
Just what? With me.
Oh, just with you. Perfect.
Because the processing took at least a day.
At least.
Because they went from one department, health department, immigration, Department of Labor, Department of Transportation. So as they were being processed, there were different departments they had to go through.
Would you please describe the screening process of a bracero for me? Let's say I'm the bracero got there. Mm-hmm. How did they arrive to the Rio Vista?
They were brought from Chihuahua to Juarez, from Juarez to the bracero center.
Okay, in trucks
in transportation
or
trucks.
Transportation.
I saw trucks. I saw buses.
Okay, so they got to the Rio Vista center, and what was the first step?
I wasn't really prepared to think in terms of the processing, but they went through the immigration department, through the health department, through the Department of Labor, and the Department of Transportation, and there were different, and we were working in barracks ourselves.
Okay.
So there were different
buildings for
buildings
each process. Mm-hmm. And for example, at the immigration department that was the first one, what happened there?
I have no idea because I did not work those departments.
Okay.
I only handled
so they, but I suppose they passed the medical examination and everything. Mm-hmm. Your department was the last step of the process for them to fill out all this information, or did they still have to do some other things before they left?
No, they were. We were about the last.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And once, so they go with you, they fill out all this information. Did they receive any kind of copy of the document you fill out, or?
I don't really remember. I can't recall that.
And after that, they were able to, you fill out the contract as well, or that was not part of the?
We filled out contracts also. Okay. There were times when we would be filling out contracts.
And after that, they were ready to leave the center, mm-hmm. or some of them stayed and passed the night?
Some of them would stay, depending on what areas they were going to, whether there was transportation available, or going out into Pecos or Monahans or wherever they were designed to go.
And do you remember what were the qualifications to become a bracero? What they were required? And what role did the Mexican government have during the screening process? Were Mexican officials present at the time the braceros were going through it?
I remember the consul and consulado, and so they had represented, yes, because I remember some names of some consuls. Uh-huh. So they did have a...
Oh, do you remember some names? Will you...
Consul Brito.
Uh-huh. It's okay with Mr. Witt, it's okay. So they were several during the mm-hmm. whole time. Okay. And they were able to be present at any time during the screening uh-huh. process? Mm-hmm. They were not forbidden to be in certain areas? Or
no.
Okay. Where did you live while working at the Rio Vista Center?
Where
did you live?
Where was I living?
Uh-huh, yes, while you work at the Rio Vista Center.
I worked at home. I mean, I was living at home with my parents okay. in the Lower Valley.
And how did you get to the Rio Vista Center? By bus? Or?
At the time, my dad used to take me.
Okay.
I didn't drive, so he would take me there.
And you said the process lasted almost a day. So were there any meals provided?
Yes.
To the braceros?
Yes.
Right there at the center?
At the center.
Mm-hmm. And what about the employees? What about you? Did you eat at the same place?
No, we took our lunch.
Okay. Would you describe a typical work day at the Rio Vista Center? What was it you do? You enter, at what time did you?
It would be either, say a normal day would start at 8 o'clock in 8 the morning.
O'clock. Mm-hmm.
And we would go right into our assignments, which mm-hmm. was either typing the MICA cards or typing contracts or taking the fingerprints.
Oh, okay.
We used to fingerprint them. Or other duties that were assigned to us.
Okay. So it varied, like the kind of duties you have to do there?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any particular incident that it stands out in your mind during working as a clerk typist at the Rio Vista Center?
I think the most impressive was that coronela that brought her. That was something very impressive to me.
What was the coronela, ma'am?
The one we talked about, bringing the group of men that she took care of, that she saw that they were processed correctly, and they were assigned to the area that they were supposedly have been assigned to.
You mentioned that the coronela mostly or only bring Indians?
Yes, they look more like a group of Indians that were being led by her.
You mentioned that she had several kind of medals and things in there.
Yes, uh-huh.
She had a suit. She even have guns, you said.
Or a halter. I don't remember exactly whether it was a gun or it was just a halter, but she impressed you like she was a general in the army or...
She was a Mexican lady.
Uh-huh, yes.
Was she young or...
Middle age.
And did it seem to obey her?
Yes, they followed her orders or instructions.
So when they, her group was going through the screening process, was she present at all?
At all times.
Oh, right. Did she sleep with them at the
According to what we thought, we left and, uh-huh. and at the end of the day, and she'd be right there with them waiting to see when they were leaving and
Do you know if she stay or at the Rio Vista and then go back to Mexico to bring another group, or probably she went with them?
I think it was just that group that she would brought in. I mean, I never saw her, you know, repeating the same thing.
But you saw her several times during the time you worked there. Mm-hmm. How many times will you say?
Well, I would say yearly. I mean, this is where I saw her yearly on a yearly basis.
So it was mostly yearly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was it the same group over and over, or it might be?
I have no idea. You know, I can't.
And another thing, how were the work contracts arranged? You work, for example, with the employers. You say you fill out some contracts. Mm-hmm. Were the employers there and they say, we need so many braceros, or how did you manage that?
At the Rio Vista, we're just processing the men as they were coming from Mexico to the United States. I don't recall exactly what, in what time did they assign them, say, to the different employer, but mm-hmm. I believe that the assignment of the employer came, like if they went to Pecos, I don't recall how they assign them to the different employers. I can't recall that specific.
Do you remember, were the braceros allowed to keep their personal belongings?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And did, how do you say they look in general? The braceros, were they young men or old men?
They were young and they were older men.
Both of them?
Both.
Were they kind of serious or...
They were very eager to work. They were, they were, like I said here in my notes, they were men that were ready to take a challenge. They were ready to venture out. And more than anything, they wanted to be able to help their families in Mexico. And they all had a dream. They all were.
Do you think they look scared?
I don't think so.
So they were mostly eager to work. That mm-hmm. was their main. Mm-hmm. And were there all the time people that you filled the forms for? Was their first time, or some of them wasn't the first time at the Rio Vista Center? So
others, no, most of them was not their first time. As the years went by, maybe like the first year to me, they could have been first to me.
Yes.
But to them, it was the second year or the third year.
And all the times that they came back to the United States, they have to go through the Rio Vista Center.
Uh-huh. The same process.
The same process. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you worked there, you mentioned, from 1954 to 1958 as a clerk typist. Mm-hmm. But also, you worked there during the summers. The rest of the year, you worked for the El Paso Cotton Association?
El Paso Cotton Association. I helped out. I assisted in clerical work there.
What was the main role of the El Paso Cotton Association? What was their connection with the Bracero program?
They handled a lot of the contracts for the farmers in the surrounding area, in the El Paso area.
Did El Paso Cotton Association was one of the contractors at the Rio Vista Center?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this association covered what area, ma'am?
It covered... I don't recall it was limited to the El Paso area, or it took care of Pecos or other. I don't recall exactly on that.
After that, after working as doing clerical work at the El Paso Cotton Association, you mentioned that you moved to the U.S. Department of Labor.
Yes.
This was around what time, ma'am?
1958.
Great. And what was your role there at the U.S. Department of Labor?
I was, again, doing clerical work.
And what was it they do?
We handled the inspections of the units of the braceros that were working out in Pecos or the El Paso Cotton Association, which was the El Paso area.
Yes, ma'am.
Monahans, all the surrounding areas in the southwest.
on the
that
South.
Had bracero programs. As a Department of Labor, our job was to oversee that those contracts that the employers signed were being met, whether it was through housing, through medical care, through other things that were were specified in the contract. We all were always checking to see that they were met. We checked for dishonest employers to see that they were not exploiting any workers. And at any time that we did find anything that was not being met, mm-hmm. an investigation was made. We helped the braceros recover their lost wages, their benefits, and follow through to see that nothing was in violation, serious violation, where the contracts needed to be terminated.
That was the fine for an employer. If you found that they didn't actually meet all the requirements, the contracts were...
They could, in other words, if an employer was found to be violating a contract and it was a serious violation that could not be remedied or taken care of, or if it was back wages they needed to pay, or if there's anything else that was serious and that could not be taken care of, the contract for that employer could be terminated where they could not hire any more braceros.
Oh, not at all. Mm-mm. Okay. And what was the main things that the inspectors of the U.S. Department of Labor had to check? You mentioned wages, living mm-hmm. conditions as well. Mm-hmm. Were there any minimum requirements, like for the living conditions?
Yes, they had, like, they would check to see that they had screens in their doors, that they had water inside, that there were bathrooms, all of this general needs that were specified in the contract, that's what they were checking for.
Okay. What about the minimum wage, man?
They checked on wages very closely on that to see that they were being paid, and if there were any wages lost, they would see that they were recovered.
Recovered. Mm-hmm. What was the minimum wage back then?
I believe at that time was either 60 cents for Texas per hour.
Okay. What about the number of hours that they were supposed to work at the field? Was there a minimum or a maximum number of hours that they...
I cannot really say they had...
What about
but,
the...
But they would, you know, we knew that this man were willing to work over their 8 hours or... But I don't know whether the contract specified that or not.
Okay. And what about medical services? Where the contractor was supposed to provide any kind of
yes,
attention?
Yes, they had medical care they had to.
And what about the inspectors? How did they were supposed to be there? The inspections were doing randomly, I assume, mm-hmm. and could be how often? Will an inspection happen?
An inspection could be, this inspector who were out, like I said, every day of the week. But they would, I don't know whether they would assign the area or if they came back according to the length of the contract. If they're going to be 6 months there, they might check on them every 2 months or every 3 months or if needed be every month.
Okay.
But not necessarily because of the number of other contractors or employers that were in the areas.
Did the employers knew in advance that the inspectors were coming to check the...
Sometimes they did, other times they didn't, depending on what they were looking for.
Okay, perfect. And you said if they found any dishonest employers or some of the conditions were not the required ones, an investigation was made.
Mm-hmm.
How come? Did the inspectors talk to... Or how was that?
The inspectors would talk to the employers. They were notified as to what the findings were.
Okay.
And they were given in writing what they had to do to correct any deficiencies found during the inspection or checking through the contracts. They were notified. They were given so much time to take care of it.
Okay.
And then our inspectors go back and follow up on those deficiencies that were determine at the time of the inspection.
And what about did they had any contact with the braceros or person living in the community in order to, you know, to find out the
work? Yes, they met with the braceros, they talked to them, they would follow up to see if whatever the contract was, if it was met, not only the side of the employer, they were also taking care of the bracero themselves. So they would talk to them, they would check their housing and their living conditions. They would physically go and check.
Mm-hmm. And besides checking their working and living conditions, were the inspectors of the U.S. Department of Labor, did they require the braceros to show their papers to know that they were working legally, let's
no,
say?
No, yeah, they knew, the inspector knew how many workers this employer had, who the workers were. And so it was not a matter of having someone that was not the person
that was not there. Okay.
There. Perfect. And they also had, I mean, the employers knew that immigration was constantly checking on the places of employment. They knew exactly where the braceros were supposed to be.
Okay.
And that was on a regular basis. Immigration was...
it was very often, so they did the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We knew this because our inspectors would come back and say, you know, immigration was there, and they came and they followed through, and it seemed like sometimes they would run into the immigration and...
And the U.S. Department of Labor.
Which was, Border Patrol? Is it the one that goes into the...
Okay. So even sometimes a worker, they work together, mm-hmm. I mean, at the same place.
Either one was doing an inspection of contracts, the other one was checking to see that these were legal workers.
During that time, in general, the contractors meet their requirements, or did the inspectors had, like, several problems?
No, I think most of them were meeting
their requirements.
Their contracts.
And you said if there were minor, like, things they can correct and some deficiencies that were not that important, they gave the employer a written inspection and asked him to correct that. Were there any, like, a limit of times they can have these minor deficiencies?
Okay. Because
the
inspector would go back the following week. I mean, it was not a matter of giving them 30 or 60 days. It was a matter of...
Oh, it was a matter of weeks?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
A week, and they'd be back, and that needed to be taken care of. Employers many times would call us a day or 2 days later and said it's already corrected. You don't need to wait the time that you can come and inspect.
Okay, so
and
you
so
can.
We would go send our inspector right back, and
so he can check
up.
And mm-hmm. Perfect. What about the any relations about the U.S. Department of Labor with the Mexican government to both check? Was there any kind of job relationship, like the Mexican government also wanted to check the living and working conditions of the...
I have no idea on that.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Did at any time during the years you work for both the Rio Vista, El Paso County Association, and the U.S. Department of Labor, did the braceros cause any problems while working at the United States?
I don't recall any.
And what about any incidents in when the braceros were involved? Not necessarily good or bad, just accidents or...
Our inspectors would also check if there were any injuries or any accidents.
Okay.
I mean, that is one thing that they would make sure that was followed through. I don't remember exactly what process they did, but I know that they would look into it, whether it was reported to another department or... But our inspectors look for injuries, see that they were getting the medical attention. That was part of the inspections.
Okay. Were the employers supposed to have any kind of medical attention there at the place, at the farm, or near the cities, or did they have to report it to the U.S. Department of Labor, and then the U.S. Department of Labor will take care of it?
And what?
Like, let's suppose they were supposed to have medical attention there at the place, at the farm, or did they have to report it at the U.S. Department of Labor, and then they will take care of it?
And I believe that it was already understood that the employer knew what to do in case of a medical
incident
incident or emergency, whether they took them to the facilities around there or whether they were at the job site. I don't know specific, but
okay. And let's say an accident happened and the employer took care of it. Mm-hmm. Everything was okay, but still he had to report that accident to the U.S. Department of Labor.
To the U.S. Department, I can't
remember
specifically.
Probably
I don't know whether our inspectors found this out or how that was reported. I don't recall it.
And we talk about the wages of the braceros working there. And what about your wages working for the Rio Vista, El Paso County, and the U.S. Department of Labor? And on average, how much did you make? But it was paid with checks, right?
Yes, because we were working for the, it was government jobs, so I don't recall what the pay was at that time.
During the time you worked there at the Rio Vista Center, did the employees were there like just for the summer, seasoned workers, or did most of them most of them returned, so it was most of the time the same people
working there.
And how was the relation between the employees at those the Rio Vista Center? Do you have a good relationship with your fellow?
Yes, we all worked like a family. We all got to know each other and just join for coffee 10 o'clock breaks.
Oh, you had breaks during the day because it was And were you supposed to speak Spanish? Was it a requirement?
I would say yes, because most of our questioning was in Spanish. Had to work there had to know Spanish, be fluent.
You speak Spanish at that time,
yes,
right? How did you become familiar with Spanish?
My parents.
Your parents.
At home.
Great. What about the braceros? Were they, friendly between them and with the employees at the Rio Vista Center?
I think they were all made to feel at home. I don't believe that I ever saw a bracero feeling out of place. At least that was my concept, or that's what I felt, that it was like a family. They were all very respectful. I mean, I never saw anybody being disrespectful either. The bracero with the employee or the employee with the bracero.
And what about among them? When they arrive in groups, let's say, from the same city or even, relatives, were they able to stay together?
Most of them were. Uh-huh. They most got together. They congregated in different groups.
Yes.
And you knew that this group was going to an area that was assigned, and they were together.
Great. You said sometimes they spent the night right there at the Rio Vista Center. How were the, would you describe the buildings for me, the Rio Vista Center? How did it work? They had the buildings of the...
They had cots. I remember those cots. And they were barrack building type.
Okay, and those were next to the buildings that you work?
Yes, and the staying overnight was very limited because most of them, as they arrived at the center, they were already, the processing was as fast as they could, and they already had the transportation available to send them out.
So most of them didn't spend the night there. Mm-hmm. And if they did, was it for a day, maybe?
Maybe a day.
Two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's say you work there, your shift. What if they closed, the shift was over, and there were still people standing in line?
No, we had to work right through. That's why I say sometimes we had 12-hour days.
Okay, so probably was open until the last bracero was processed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And once the braceros, you said they went first to Chihuahua.
They would arrive in Chihuahua, from Chihuahua to Juarez, and from Juarez to El Paso.
And to Juarez to El Paso. How did the Rio Vista Center was prepared? was like the same number of braceros arriving every day, or did you have an idea of how many people was going to be at the center that day? Let's suppose you are...
Okay, I don't think that I knew exactly what was going to, because there were others.
Yes,
supervisors,
but do you think the supervisors had an idea of how many people?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. And what was the busiest time of the day, or was it the same?
It was the same.
It was the same. So how was the place you work at, what you were clerk types at the Rio Vista Center? Was it a room, or how were the offices, the distribution?
I just recall a long room.
Yes.
Barrack type, a lot of desks.
Okay.
And men standing right in front of you, lines of men standing while you're processing.
Oh, you with your machine at your desk and that line of men.
Mm-hmm.
Were they supposed to sign any kind of document?
Yes, as you ask questions and they reviewed or they whatever paperwork.
They went over.
They were signing papers.
Have you ever found a person that wasn't able to read or to write?
Yes.
At that time, mm-hmm. In which case, how did they?
They had translators, or we.
Uh-huh.
We had to translate.
Oh,
The whole contract. Whatever they were signing at the time.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. You say you don't remember any... what about any anecdote that you remember from that time, from the braceros in general?
I can't.
They were... Because they were there almost all day. Did they talk between each other?
Yes, they were. Some were singing.
Oh, they were...
They would, a group would have a guitar.
Oh.
And they would get together and they would sing, they would say jokes. Some of them were very friendly. Some of them wanted to talk to you and tell you about their family back in Mexico or give you stories of.
Oh, they actually wanted to share that with you.
They did. They did a lot of. You would see the group of men all coming together and congregating, visiting, laughing, talking, singing. I mean, it was just an ongoing thing. Or others you could see that were very lonely and very,
yes.
I guess, sad because they left behind. Maybe it was the first time.
Oh,
I mean, some of them you could see them like.
They didn't know what was going
where
on.
Where am I going? I mean, where is this going to end? Or so it was just a variety.
A variety of people
there with.
And what about the ones that you said some of them wasn't their first time, as braceros? Did they ask to go to the same place?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely some of them made lasting friendship with their employers or work well, but they wanted to go back to the same
town. Were you able to do it?
Yes.
I mean, if they wanted to go to the same place?
Mm-hmm. And that went through, like if they went to the El Paso Cotton Association.
Yes.
They already knew what employers needed, what workers, so some of them were able to go back.
And what, let's say the employer knows they're going to come back. What did they went back to Mexico because of their contract was
their contract
ended?
Expired.
Or some of them went for vacation, have you heard?
No, it was mostly because their contract ended.
Okay. What about the holidays? Did you have braceros during the winter, during December and that time of the year?
I think they were, some of them that were working during the Christmas holidays or whatever. Of course, it's just like, I'm sure they were not working on the 24th because their employer is not going to be watching them, or the 25th.
Yes.
But some that were too far from, that were coming from very far in places in Mexico. Had to stay here.
But the Rio Vista Center was open during that time. I mean, during the winter. It was all year round. Was it open?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. I have I would like to know some personal opinions about you about this. What do you think were the effects of the Bracero program here in the United States?
Hmm. I believe that they were helping the economy in this country as well as the business community with their buying power.
Yes. And so you're, what do you think are the advantages and disadvantages of having the Bracero problem?
The advantages I saw is that they kept the agricultural business thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were at that time in need of that help, and these workers were eager and ready to go to work, so they help our economy.
Were they aware of the war situation going on in the United States? Did the Braceros?
I'm sure they were, yes.
Do you think the Bracero program should be revived?
I believe so. I think so. If we really want the agricultural, especially to go back and to do well, I believe that we need this man because, like I said before, they were the ones that kept our agricultural afloat and not let it die.
Is there any final comment that you would like to do? Something you'd like to add?
What I said before and the way I saw that many of them became our friends. They left the United States con un abrazo, que Dios los bendiga y hasta pronto. And these same men were the ones that came back year after year, established good working relations and lasting friendship.
I would like to thank you very much for the opportunity to interview you and to share all your memories with us.
Thank you
very
much. I enjoyed this.